Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday, February 15th, 2018. The only position Brent Burns didn't play tonight was goaltender, and he didn't need to as Martin Jones stopped 43 shots as the San Jose Sharks take down the team located in British Columbia, otherwise known as the Canucks, 4-1. There's a reason why I didn't say the name, and we'll find out later this episode of Teal Town After Dark. Yes. Oh, it's going to be a fun one, folks, because you know it's coming. And that's the best part of it all. Hi again, everyone. I am Eric Curry. You can always follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. And nonetheless, this is your live and interactive Sharks postgame show. So nonetheless, if you want to be a part of the show, join the conversation in the chat with us and the Sharks fans in the YouTube chat on the page or the app. And as always, you can use on the Twitter machine the hashtag TealTownUSA. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and YouTube to get connected. We are your live and interactive Sharks postgame show, home and away. This is what I think is consecutive show number 252 now. So by all means, be a part of it, and we will get you on board. Hello, everyone. You can always follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. And tonight, I have Mr. Al Martinet.
Hey, Eric. Those Game 7 Canucks, who managed to burn down their hometown just for advantage. Just saying.
What's their hometown?
No, I don't. I think it's somewhere in Canada.
Okay, gotcha. Also joining me tonight is Chris JWS. Chris, what's happening, bud?
After 252 broadcasts, we have to raise the sexual tension somehow, you know.
Sexual tension. I'm actually now scared to say where that's coming from. Nonetheless, hello to the people in the chat. Let's see. you can kind of figure out what's going on here, but nonetheless, let's get this thing rolling. Early on, Sharks seemed like they were doing in good shape, but also the British Columbia team did a good job in the shots. I think there was 13 to 11 shots on goal through 20 minutes. However, the Sharks were to get things going early. Hockey Jerk's favorite hockey player, Mikhail Bodker, gets his ninth on the season from Tierney and Hansen at 8:41 of the first. Chris, it's his eighth goal against in the Pacific Division. His seventh goal since the calendar turned to 2018. I guess we could say he is a hot bod.
Yeah, you stole my line there. I was going to go straight up hot bod.
Oh, my.
And we still need to make our highlights video because we actually might have enough to fill 20 seconds now with Mikhail Bodker highlights after tonight. I think that was second number, 19 and 20 right there. So, hey, we might have some highlights. Could put a hot bod video together with Rocket doing a little narration there.
Oh,
but
my.
It's good to see that Bodker's getting his ass in shape a bit for the new year, as well as Jones.
I've clearly jumped on the wrong podcast. I'm sorry. I must go.
All right. AJ.
We'll blame the Grandpa Simpson, like, come in, set the hat down, turn around, take the hat, and walk out.
Pretty much it. It's like,
We'll get AJ set up in a little bit. But Alex, what did you think of the first period, especially with Bodker's goal to get things going?
I did like the Bodker, Hansen, and I believe that was Tierney line. I really do like that line. They've had that line a couple of times in the season. I think Hansen has been a little bit underused this season. Most of that's because he's not a great offensive threat and the Sharks need more scoring. But Hansen has been a great defensive asset for the Sharks. There were a quote or two from, I think, TSN had an interview about how he just didn't enjoy playing for the Sharks this season. I think he's only played in 20 or 25 games this season. So I think that's something to do with it. It would be interesting to see if he comes back next season. I thought the effort first period and second period were really great. And yeah.
All right. Thank you, Alex. As things got going in the second period, it really started to turn around. The Canucks are out hit the Sharks 11-3 in that first period. And I think the Sharks finally started to take back some hits. Of course, we saw Dylan DeMello take a nasty hit along the boards in the second. Not exactly the greatest thing in the world that you want to see. And, you know, personally, a couple weeks ago, looked like that was something that a person from the Sharks got tossed out of the game for. Nonetheless, the Sharks rallied as Brent Burns, this time playing as a defenseman, scores on a one-timer from Joakim Ryan and Logan Couture at 4:57 of the second period, makes it 2-0 Sharks. Really, Burnsy coming on strong here, despite going back and forth tonight between positions, which, you know, I would think is very hard to do. But Alex, Wookiee noises nonetheless from the point.
Yeah, great shot. You know, I was surprised. I think the bank was on that line too. Tierney had another great game too, but I'm going to toss that up to that Vancouver goalie just had poor positioning and just didn't react on time to that one. I think he's lost his last six games this season. So Vancouver has been on a funk lately. But
damn it.
It's been.
Oh, you lose.
Did somebody say Vancouver?
Oh, yes. What, 8 minutes into the broadcast? Good job, yes! Alex.
Yes.
Did I miss somewhere?
to let in on everybody, including AJ, we weren't going to say Vancouver because it knows it triggers the Shorthouse impersonation. And these guys tried so hard not to say it. And
somebody mute Alex then.
Yeah, Alex, you just, you know, you're about, you know, you're muted for the rest of the show.
Anywho,
Jesus, Alex, you had one job.
It's all right. I got it on my system. That's it. We're good.
Can we put money on that?
Yes. No, I'm good.
Eric's mom is in the chat just doing the rolling eye emoji.
Is she really?
We put Bitcoin on it.
Wow. Dude. Like, thanks, Mom. Appreciate it.
200 rolling eye emojis.
Nonetheless, AG, you were at this game. San Jose got outshot 22-11 in the second period. Holy crap.
Yeah, they pretty much got owned in the second period. This is one of those games where I think Vancouver can actually look back at this and say, we won on almost like every phase of this game except, you know, the goals. I mean, everything else, I mean, it's like one in the faceoffs, one in hits, one in, I mean, blocks, giveaway, I mean, just everything. They pretty much, what, this is one of those games, and we've seen the Sharks play games like this too, where you basically win every category, but it doesn't matter if you don't win the game.
I rebut?
Oh, go ahead.
AJ, you ignorant slut. If you look at the timing of all those shots that they outshot them by, it was pretty much all after they went up 2-0. And if you look up a little thing called score effects, the team, any team that is up two or more, pretty much always ends up going into a defensive shell. The other team ends up being more aggressive, hence the outshooting. So I looked at the adjusted shots for score effects. They got outshot by a lot less if you count the fact that they were up by two goals or more almost the, you know, from what was that, about 5 minutes into the second. So I wouldn't say they got outplayed as much as they were up. They do the usual defensive shell thing that they didn't do with Edmonton, which they should have done, where they let Edmonton get back into it because they kind of let them play end to end. They let Vancouver get some chances, but they played it close to the vest. They didn't let them take a lot of, you know, really dangerous shots. They did some, of course, but the Sharks took their share of dangerous shots on the other end. So I would disagree that they got outplayed.
I'm not saying, if I said they got outplayed, I don't mean that they got outplayed. I'm just saying that Vancouver owned all the stats except the one that matters.
Yeah, I know. Fair enough.
So, wait a minute. Hold on. I just got an alert. We have a police chase. I got to go, guys. But it was, dude, give it up to Jones tonight. I mean, dude, they piled on. I mean, I remember like looking up at the clock and I'm like, does that really say like 36 to 20? That can't be right. You know, I mean, it was, was Burns that much of a factor? Did we give up that much defense where we're going to, you know, allow that much? But for me, the bigger point is Heed and Ryan looked good tonight. Now, would I have liked to see Heed crack the 10-minute mark? Absolutely. But if you look at the defensive numbers tonight, it was pretty even. I mean, Vlasic 19, Ryan 19, Braun 19, DeMello at 15, Dylan at 16. Of course, the really funny thing is that the guys at NHL.com, they have Burns, his numbers, all of his numbers, of course, are as a defenseman, which I think is fantastic. So you're going to do what you're going to do. Vodker, stop it, man. You're making me nervous. Some hockey jerk is going to like be all over me, dude. Just enough already with this.
I do think the shots on goal stat in NHL is really overrated, though. It doesn't really tell it doesn't tell the story of the game at all.
Yeah, scoring chances is more valuable to me.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I say. You look at scoring chances, but also looking at when the shots happen, because, you know, up until the Sharks took a 2-0 lead, they were only slightly behind on shots. Like, if a team is going to get a lot more shots, most likely, if they're down 2-0, because they have to. At that point, you have to be super aggressive, because what's the worst going to happen? You give down 3-0?
I mean the stats I look at are turnovers and plus and minus. And that's usually what tells the story of the game. If you can look at periods, that usually does a little bit better, but for the most part.
But it's funny you say that, though, because Pete DeBoer has said multiple times that he's like, he doesn't give two S's about plus minus. He could not care less, coach said, you know. Oh, I know, but you know that they're still looking at it. But speaking of Bodker, hold on. Can we just dive into this for a hot second? I'm afraid that this is Bodker.
It's going to be Bodker.
Let it be Bodker.
Friend of mine went to the game. When did they do mystery hats?
It was
that Arizona?
Yeah, it was the Desert Dogs.
Yeah, okay. So she scored me the mystery hat.
It's probably going to be a ref.
Let's see. Hold on.
It's going to be the hot pod.
Oh, congratulations. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It could not be any better.
Mirko Mueller.
No, this is actually current. It's a current one. I'll just show you the hat without showing you the autograph, because it is the Screaming Shark logo on here. But okay. But it did come with a piece of paper.
Do we all get to guess here before?
Sure. Okay. All right. One of my favorite players, if not my favorite player, Alex, we will go to you.
Nabby.
No, well, it's got to be current, though.
It's current.
Oh. Kachur.
Ooh.
Puck guy.
I go with Mr. Fun Must Be Always.
Chris.
Brendan Dillon.
And Puck guy has won.
I won the hat? Sweet.
Oh, no, you didn't win the hat. You just got the name
right. You just win the honor of being right.
Yeah. And dude, like, could not get a more perfect hat. Thank you, Hurdle. And the best part is she actually FaceTimed me and said, and like pointing, saying, which one do you want me to pick? And I said, make the person behind the table pick it. So nice. Person behind the table, you rock. Like my favorite player. Oh my God, this is awesome.
Shout out to the person behind the table.
Right?
You're the best.
Sharks Foundation, you all that. And it was also yard sale tonight. So
got this
sweet lid from the yard sale, because clearly not enough people bought those.
The kids call it fresh lids, AJ.
Okay. Well, I got this fresh lid. So I dig that, and I will be wearing this on September
25th,
right? 25th at AT&T Park when it is Sharks night at AT&T Park to pick up my Giants or my Sharks branded Giants hockey jersey. So
they're actually reciprocating. Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is the second time around they did.
Have the Warriors ever done that?
No.
Well, no. I thought didn't they do a bobblehead?
No.
No. The Sharks did a bobblehead. Where was Steph Curry in a Sharks jersey?
No, I want to say, I think it was back during the Calgary game at the end of December. No, they did a whole Bay Area Unite thing. So you can see right there that they're going to be doing a jersey. So, you know, white hockey jersey with the Screaming Sharks logo on the front. And on the back, I believe, is the SF, the San Francisco SF. So, yeah, they were selling these at the Sharks game at the end of that. So this
Sharks mashup night. Giants Sharks mashup night.
So anyway, to get back to the game real quick. I mean, I felt like the Sharks had a good amount of chances tonight. I don't know that the shot counter will kind of invoke that, but I felt like the Sharks played a pretty decent game. Hey, Brock Besser, not a contributing factor tonight. That's huge.
they really stopped the Canucks down pretty well, because in fact, I think it was only Sedins and Vanek are the only guys with a plus on the Canucks tonight. And it was a 4-1 game. Overall, the Sharks were outshot 44-30. Definitely had some more chances than just 30, but nonetheless, in the third period, Marcus Sorensen with that sweet wrister of a shot, his fourth on the season.
Nice
from Bronin Vlasic at 3:06, made it 3-0. Unfortunately, Daniel Sedin ends the shutout bid, much to dismay of my fantasy team, at 6:43.
No one cares about your fantasy team.
Shut your mouth.
He's not lying. And dude, and Puck Mom lighting up Brody right now in the chat, by the way.
I know. Yeah, it's amazing. I swear, we heard these questions before on a certain podcast. I don't know.
I actually had a little discussion with Brody afterwards about that, by the way.
We'll save that for off air.
Yeah. I was like, dude.
Behind the After Dark.
No, I was just like, no. It's like as soon as he was done with pregame, popped open to the door the way they do it, and I just like, and I'm like, dude, what are you taking my exclusives away for me, dude? I'm like, I have two people that I talk to, you and Totora, and you ruined both of them tonight. What are you doing?
You're like, stay in your lane, Brody. Why you work at my side of the street, man?
Right? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, jeez.
Come on, you gotta let me hustle here.
That's all I'm saying.
And to finish off the scoring, Tierney, his 14th on the year from Burns and Bodker. Bodker with a 2.9 along with Tierney with a 2.9. I think, yeah, this thing is Tierney and Bodker and Burnsy all with 2.9s, and they all scored a goal as well. And for that assist for Burns, that's his 40th assist on the season. What does he think? He has Jumbo or something?
Dude, Burns for a Selke.
At 12:33 to finish off the scoring, 4-1 overall. Later in the period, Vancouver had a number of chances to finish it off, but I know we touched on it before, but Alex Martin Jones, probably with I believe it's the most saves he made in his career in one game tonight.
Yeah, great game. Honestly, I was hoping that the Sharks wouldn't lose after having the disappointment game versus Arizona. That was kind of the bigger storyline for me. Vancouver's Vancouver. I wasn't expecting anything else besides a win. If the Sharks won at 3-2 or 2-1 at the same point, that's kind of where it was for me at the bottom. Yeah.
Could not agree with Alex more on that. This was Vancouver. Don't get excited. Let's see what happens on the road trip. St. Louis, Nashville, you know. Let's see what the boys do on the road.
Yeah.
Chris, your overall thoughts on tonight?
main thought I had taken away from this that I already felt beforehand was the whole Burns to forward thing was much ado about nothing. You know, there's people like, oh no, they're moving to forward. And there's people like, yes, they're moving to forward. It's like, they played him some forward, they played him some of defense. In the end, he played less minutes than an average night because of the forward minutes, but really he lined up at both a good amount of time. I mean, it's just using the versatility of the player because they're short at forward right now. Now is a good time as any to inject a little energy up front some of the time and have him play in the back at other times. So it was just kind of much ado about nothing. And he had a good night though overall. And clearly it's because he moved forward, obviously, you know, no other explanation for that.
Dude, I'm just going to call it right now. Between now and the trade deadline, Sharks going for Dustin Byfuglien, of course.
Yeah, but one thing that should be said about this, though, is that should give Peter DeBoer some props for being willing to put him at forward and ignite this conversation or this controversy or whatever you want to call it, because they made it clear a couple years ago they are not ever putting him back at forward on any kind of a regular basis. So the fact that he was even willing to broach the subject, because he kind of needed to, he needed something, some kind of a spark. He needed to get some more bodies up front. So you know what? Good on him to actually not worry about that and do what he has to do to get a win. So
I'll give him props. I think it's that they had a little more depth on defense when you can insert Heat, and poor Heat. I mean, what a yo-yo. Up, down, up, down. I mean, I feel so bad for him. I think he should definitely be seeing some more time. Plus, remember, the Sharks also have Martin sitting in the stable. I mean, that you could have invoked his name in there too. So there's a little bit more depth on defense right now than there is on offense. So if you have this option where Burns can be a utility knife for this, I'm totally down with that. But the best part of the night right now is a tweet from Kevin Kurz quoting PDB saying, yeah, the Burns experiment didn't last very long. He proved out what we already know. He's a better defenseman.
Yeah. I mean, it's utility. You can be a utility guy because, you know, the guy who wins, they're like, oh, putting a Norris guy at forward. It's like, yeah, Norris always goes to the most offensive defenseman anyway. So basically a guy who can play forward as well. So it's by definition almost someone who can play forward too.
That's all I'm saying.
At the same time, though, he's minus 20 this season.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of that is, though, it's the lack of 5-on-5 scoring for the Sharks. If you had a bit more 5-on-5, I don't know that it would be that bad. Maybe it's like minus 12 or something. But you also take into account that Burns takes an awful lot of risks. Do they all pay off? No. There's a reason why Hockey Jerk has trademarked starfish defensive posture.
I thought that was
Don't starfish when you should French fry.
Yes. So, but I do believe Sharks, a lot of that has to do with the fact of lack of 5-on-5 scoring.
If the Sharks have a greater need on offense, or if they can move Burns to forward, and I think if Hurdle's out for a couple more weeks than we expect, I think it's honestly worthy to put him out of forward position, put Martin up on defense, sixth wing, third wing. Mm-hmm. You're not going to put him on second wing. Like, I just don't – I think that's, like, a feasible option at the moment.
I would say it makes sense to play 7D on now and again. Like, on not – it may not every time, but have seven defensemen in the lineup, and whether it's Burns playing forward or a different defenseman playing forward sometimes.
But, Chris – because,
like AJ said, you have more depth there. That's where you have that depth.
Yes, but Chris, has DeBoer ever – as his tenure as a Sharks coach, has he ever dressed 7D? I don't think he has.
I think tonight might be the first time. I think we technically did dress 7 tonight, right? I think I didn't see the official.
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay.
Because Burns technically was dressed as a forward tonight.
What's the status? Oh, okay. Well, I'm saying as in, like, you know, because we know he's a defenseman. Like, yeah, I guess he was technically dressed tonight as a forward, but a skater's a skater.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, Eric, you would know. I mean, back in the, like, Ron Wilson era, I mean, there was more than a few times where there was 7D dressed because the Sharks at that point had kind of an offensive. Who was it? It wasn't Stewart because he was too good as a defenseman, but who was it?
I'm trying to think with Ron Wilson, though.
Well, I mean, I don't remember T-Mac doing it too often. T-Mac was it Sutter?
It was Sutter more so. And in fact, I remember the days of when Jilson was, you know, being developed as the next Gary Suter, the power play specialist. Yes. He would specifically put Jilson out there on occasion during the game, but during the power plays, he was up there with like the second unit because of his shot.
What about Matt Carl?
Matt Carl? I think so too, a little bit. Not as much as Sutter used with Jilson. I remember it was succinctly Jilson was put on there for a seventh defenseman.
So Sleepy Mofo asking in the chat, how do you address, you know, as a forward or D man? I don't think technically like they actually have to turn in who's forward and D man. I think you get to dress 18 skaters.
Yes.
And essentially, yes, you know, when you're dressed, you know, when you're playing 18 D man or seven D man, really it's that you have a defensive guy.
Oh my God, how awesome would that be? 18 D man. 18 D man.
Yeah, that would be, awesome. That was Las Vegas during the summer, wasn't it? They had like 18 or so basically on their roster.
No, you want to talk about 18 D-men? What, Eric, you're going to remember this. Who remember that game maybe like 6, 7, 8 years ago? I can't remember what it was, but there was a team. I want to say it was Tampa or something like that, but they like the team that they were playing played like some bizarre trap style, and so they just sat there in their own defensive zone.
They're playing the Flyers.
Yeah, the Flyers, where he's just sitting there.
It was Tampa, right?
They had to whistle it down. Yeah,
Tampa. Yep.
Oh yeah.
Tampa's the one to play that damn trap, but they had to whistle it down eventually because they were just sitting there waiting. Like, this is exhilarating hockey. I think actually they had no technical rules justification for whistling it down other than
it should have been the refund game.
Yeah, exactly. I assume that the NHL's probably since then put in some kind of a thing into the rules to allow the refs to do that at their discretion, because to wrap that up real quick, I think as you dress 18 skaters and I think two goalies, I think that's just how it works.
That's exactly how it works, is that you just submit your lineup and everything. You just mark where who your captains and assistants are, and then you go from there. And you circle the numbers for the starting lineup. If you hadn't seen this earlier today, this is what the Sharks tweeted out with the lineup. You know, they show the positions of where everybody's going to be at, and of course, number 88, his position, hockey player.
I mean, that's basically what it is, right? He's a kind of our Swiss Army knife. He can do everything.
Yes.
That's fantastic. But you know what, though? Something that I did question on Twitter earlier today was I was just wondering who would get more ice time, the pair of Ryan and Heed or the pair of Dylan and DeMello. And, you know, Yoki Ryan tonight, 19 minutes. Dylan, 16:20. So
interesting.
I don't know how much I'd read into that. I haven't looked at
it. I'm not reading too much into it, but let's see what happens over the course of the next couple of games. I mean, Hurdle did go out and skate today. So to me, that means he's going on the road trip and he'll probably dial back in the next couple of games.
Don't forget they have a game on Sunday, though.
Yeah. Here's something worth reading into, though, is that Vlasic and Braun, if you think they do the heavy lifting tonight, they only started two shifts in the offensive zone all night. Like that was late in the game. For almost the entire game, they were starting defensive shifts. They were going straight up against the Sedins, and they were going up against the Horvat line. They were they got buried in terms of shots against, but they kept them off the board for the most part.
Well, then let me ask a question, which seems to be coming from the chat. Just for the sake of argument, if, in fact, Jones and Dell went down, who starts in goal? Is it Grosnick or is it Burns?
I would say Burns. Burns the goalie. Alex, friending guys.
No, I would go with Burns just because I think his beard would like catch half the, you know, would cover half the net.
Real question though. Okay, so I don't think he got a starfish in tonight. He got a butt check. But what would be the Burns hat trick? Would it be like a goal, a butt check, and a starfish? Or
yes, I would go. I would actually just, you know what? Because we want to see that more often than not, I would settle with a point, a butt check, and a starfish.
Yeah, call it the Wookiee trick.
Yes.
Wookiee trick, yeah. A point, a starfish, and a butt check.
Yeah.
Really quick, guys, because I just want to inject Brody and David.
Oh, is Mealy. Brody Joni?
No. Brody and David Mealy are off the air, so we want to welcome those of you who were watching NBC Sports California coverage to Teal Town After Dark. Of course, join
butt
us in
check the YouTube chat. Subscribe button.
Dude, no. I was just like, whoa, Brody hasn't stolen enough of our stuff. He's going to take over our show, too? Love you, bro.
This is now the bro show.
I love you, bro.
Yes, we love you, Brody, even though... Never mind. Anywho, the reason why we're talking about Brody is he had on tonight the co-presidents of your San Jose Sharks.
AKA BFF.
John Tortora. And AJ's soon-to-be new BFF, Jonathan Becker. They talked about a number of things that, you know, kind of ironically, AJ talked about with Tortora earlier in the season on the Pecnologist.
I think some of it even last year.
nonetheless, really excited about the All-Star game nonetheless. But one of the interesting things on this chat here was originally they talked about bringing, how the Screaming Shark has evolved. Whoa. Apparently, we should probably mute AJ.
I'm sorry, the beer fridge was a little loud. My bad.
I was going to say, like, he's trying to break into his beer fridge. It must be stuck.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My wife locked it up. Shut up, man.
So, why did you put a padlock on the beer fridge, AJ?
Let's put it this way. Let's hope that's the only thing we're locked out of for a few years to come. Right, guys?
Don't count on it.
Yeah, no, I know.
I would set your clock to the lockout. Come on now.
Ka-chunk.
But nonetheless, they were talking about logos because, you know, that's totally what we usually talk about. But one of the things they talked about was the Screaming Shark being a little more prominent next season. Won't take over as the primary logo as we once thought. Which, by the way, AJ, you know, has probably the first worn apparel item of the in the Screaming Shark era, because I don't see it at the Shark store. However, Becker did drop an exclusive bomb on Pregame Live saying that this logo, the original Finn logo, one that was seen on the shoulders for many years on the original jerseys, along with the original third jersey, will make a surprise return in some form next year. So, Alex, I will start with you first. What did you think of that little surprising announcement?
It wouldn't surprise me if they actually make the replica jerseys, the ones they brought back for the 25th anniversary, and make that the home jersey for next year.
I would love to have some sort of retro logo, but I just don't know. Chris, what did you think of the Finn logo?
Yeah, I'm all for it. I wasn't surprised. I figured they'd bring it back at some point, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's taken them this long.
And I save AJ for last because of you and me are logo dorks with this organization. So, AJ, the floor is yours.
Well, obviously, the 25th anniversary, we saw a bunch of stuff where they brought back heritage. So we saw the teal hoodie that had the black San Jose Sharks with the Chomp font on there. They came out with a hat that was a teal cap, and it was a lighter teal that was very close to the original teal of the very first jersey that had the white Sharks Chomp font. So they're definitely paying homage to their roots and what seems to be bringing back some of that. Honestly, I think the Sharks can do, I really think they should embrace their roots. I would love if they're going to do a black third jersey, which Tortora pretty much kind of admitted that while he's not a fan of it, and he does believe that the whole black jersey thing has run its course. The fact of the matter is the Sharks sent out a survey to their fans, and love it or hate it, black was the most preferred option. So chances are we're going to get a black alternate jersey next season. Now, I was afraid that the crest would be the screaming shark, okay? But Totora dissuaded that and kind of said, no, we're sticking with our primary crest. If they are to go back and honor their roots, yes, absolutely. Do a black jersey if you must, because it's that popular, but put the original crest on there. And Eric, this is, you know, this is for you, bro. I know you're kind of rocking your hat tonight. I'm going to rock my circle fin hat as well. But you know what's cool about this particular hat is that on the bill, what does that say? Teal Town, USA, baby.
Bam, stealing everything from us.
Right? But I really hope that they, you know, again, as Eric said, you know, we're both kind of logo geeks, and we both have a love for the primary logos. Even Brody even said last game during their Twitter mission, when they were talking about I believe NBCSN sent out a kind of a Twitter question so they could use for Teal Talk, which was, which jersey do you prefer the most? Overwhelmingly, people said the original jersey, the one that Eric is in fact wearing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I do think it would behoove the Sharks organization to do something to honor their roots. And I think it would sell like crazy. The Heritage jersey certainly did.
From the chat, anyone noticed the hella cute kitty curled in the corner?
Who, me? Let me get the computer out of the way. I don't even know. Let me I'll turn the camera that way just to scotch. Just to scotch. Let me see if she'll get upset if I put a hat on her. Yeah, she's not that thrilled about it, but she's dealing with it. Oh, no. Now she's like, get this thing away from me.
In the chat, Rob Iman, no. You must be buddies with Gentry. I prefer the orange alternate jersey. No.
Oh, no. Save
no.
that.
For no, Cuda. Thank you.
That's as, what we have much, the Cuda for.
As much as Gentry loves that orange, I think he even says no to that.
Laura loves the black. I'm pretty okay with the black ones, but big no on the orange ones. No, thank you. We are not the Quackaheim Sharks.
Go ahead, Alex.
No, like the orange only works if it's minor. That's why
accent.
I don't mind it as trim. I just don't want it as the primary color. No, thank you.
I would be interested in a all blue if they decided to do something of that degree. But I know blue. That doesn't. Yeah. Blue. Just to see if that would work.
Well, okay, hold on. Let's open it up to the chat for a moment. What does the chat think about this? As an option,
that's the pattern doesn't work, but I like the colors.
Okay, but again, just throwing this out to the chat, just to gauge the fan chat. This is a mock-up that Puck Guy did. If you can't tell by like the little cool watermark up there, but there is that option. What do you guys think about that?
In the definitely has a tie-in to the past.
Yeah, definitely ties into the past, but done in the Adidas style. I like this. Or what do you think about this, where this is kind of like a new revolution, but the best part of this jersey, of course, is the shoulder patches, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I if I had to pick between those two, I would pick – as much as I'm not a fan of the screaming shark being a crest, I would choose this over that because I think overall this is a better looking jersey.
Yeah.
So from the chat, Sleepy Mofo says it looks like a blacksmith's uniform or an apron. Thank you. Thank you for that, Sleepy Mofo. But most everyone else likes it. Laurel loves it, and her approval is all you need. Drew Dowdy in the chat.
Yeah, wow.
To our Kings fan friend here who's managed to keep it cool. So for the most part, everyone seems to like it. So
okay, now let me show you one more version. And what you saw was Puck Guys. Here is my idea for a third jersey.
Is this gonna be like a paint thing or something?
No. So this is my idea. So it's basically a composite. It's basically a black version of the inaugural jersey, but done in the obviously the Adidas style. But in this, this is something where we finally use that NorCal hockey patch, which is so cool. We use the NorCal hockey patch on the shoulders. So up to the chat room, you know, which do you prefer, the Screaming Shark that Eric did, which I do think is an incredible looking jersey. But of course, I'm going to lean a little bit more to this one because this one, to me, while it's done in the new Adidas style, is a nod to the roots of the Sharks.
So, chat, just enter one for Eric's, two for AJ's. Let's do a poll here. One for Eric, two for AJ. Get a quick count up here.
Okay, that sounds.
I like it'll jump on.
Yeah, I like yours, AJ's, a lot. I just. I'm not too sure about the stripe on the bottom or in the collar on the, I think that's a little bit distracting, but I think it's a really good job.
Mm-hmm. Wow. A lot of the chat going with Eric's.
Yeah. So far,
Steve's saying put the Screaming Shark logo on AJ's version.
it's tied right now. Eric's up one.
And down the stretch they come. It's split.
We'll give about 30 more seconds to get your vote in now. But Eric's up by one right now.
But overall, I mean, the reason with the teal in my design, and I think more so with the AJ as well, you have to have more color, I think, to it with
Alex. You asshole. You asshole. Hold on.
Managed to be a narrow winner, but everything NHL is cheating by entering multiple times here. But I tend to like the more teal better. So I land on the side of Eric's, but I do like yours, AJ. I'm not a big fan of. Are the lines supposed to be there, or is that just to show you where the folds are?
It wouldn't
be printed on there.
No. That just has to do with the, you know, the breathing material and everything like that. Right. And for those of you who are not aware, Alex actually voted for me. That's two in binary is what he put up there.
Binary has ones and twos in it.
Right? Exactly. Oh, nonetheless, when it's converted to, you know, ones and zeros,
just do it in hexadecimal or something.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying.
So with that, we will move on to our international hockey wraparound. Earlier this morning at like way the heck at 4:10 in the morning, I tried to wake up for that game, but just couldn't. Canada beat Switzerland in the men's Olympic hockey tournament 4-0. Funny thing about that one, speaking of uniforms, they literally wore the exact opposite. Canada was in white with red accents, with black helmets and black shorts. Switzerland was in red with white accents, with black helmets and black shorts.
Now let me ask you a question. I've gone to Hockey X and I've seen the black Canadian jersey and the red Canadian jersey in person. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one is more is hotter. I want to buy both because they both look spectacular in person, but I lean towards the red.
Yeah, I'm kind of towards the red just because it is Canada. That black one is sweet though.
Oh, we got the rich around hashtags going in the chat.
Jeez.
Oh, somebody pull up the scores.
Oh, jeez. but nonetheless, we also had a game during the Sharks game tonight, where the United States men's hockey team was victorious in over the Slovakian team by the score of 2-1. Let me see if I can pull it up here. Donato with two goals. He gets the game-winning goal right here as the USA needed a victory badly. Nice wraparound. I think Couture, that was Couture-esque. I think we've seen him do that move before. And nonetheless, they win 2-1. That's a huge win for the United States.
USA number one.
I think I've seen Pavelski pull that off too.
Yeah, same too. So, but nonetheless, there's that. We go back to the continent to talk about the games at hand.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Get your pronunciation guides ready, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Your
pronunciation guides.
Here we go.
Hold on. Here we go. I have the setup. And okay, steal yourself, puck guy, because here it comes.
All right.
And now it is time for the NHL Reach Around.
It's the wraparound, AJ. Ah, geez. All right. In New Jersey, speaking of teams with similar colors, New Jersey 5, Carolina 2. Nosen with two goals. Nico Hischier with his 11th on the year. Kyle Palmieri with his 14th. As the Devils go to 66 points on the campaign. Hurricanes still in there as well. On Long Island, or well, Brooklyn, I guess, still. The Islanders shut out the Rangers 3-0. Bailey, Eberle, and Hickey with the goals for the Islanders as Yaroslav Halak shuts down the Rangers' potent offense. Pittsburgh, this is rare for us to say, we love you. Pittsburgh 3, LA 1. Dion Phaneuf gets his first goal as an LA King on the power play in the second period, but it wasn't enough as Ryan Reeves, Aston Reese, and Evgeny Malkin each get goals for the Penguins.
Dion Phaneuf is still playing. I mean, I associate him with sloppy seconds and that whole thing.
Oh, Alicia Cuthbert is a beautiful
one. I mean, that was about 10 years ago.
No kidding, right? In the Trois, Senators beat the Sabres 3-2 in overtime. Mike Hoffman at 113 gets the winner. Potential future Shark Derek Brassard gets his 16th on the year as he becomes trade bait talks. Marian Gaborik, who was traded for Phaneuf, gets his 8th on the season, his first as a Senator in the third period. Craig Anderson with the win. In Tampa Bay, it was the Tampa Bay Maple Wings beating the Detroit Bay Redding 4-1. Tomas Tatar, the only goal for Detroit. Stamkos, Kucherov, Stamkos again, and Killorn each get goals for the Tampa Bay Lightning as they go to 81 points on the campaign. In Nashville, they don't like it, they don't love it, and they want the Flames to get the heck out of there. The Flames beat the Predators 4-3 as, well, goody, thanks a lot.
They roasted the Predators.
They roasted the Predators with some nice flaming caddy. Awesome. In Minnesota, the Capitals beat up on the Wild 5-2. Tom Wilson, Alex Ovechkin, Burkowski, Backstrom, and Wilson each get goals for the Capitals. Nico Niederreiter and Eric Staal for the Wild. If you didn't see on I think it was NHL Gifts, at NHL Gifts, had a picture of how to get rid of a troll by the penalty box. It was Smith Pelly, who was in the box squirting water at the guy who was trying to chirp next to the penalty box there. That was pretty cool.
I missed the green man.
Oh god. Nonetheless, the Chicago Blackhawks have lost their 8th straight game. They lose to the Anaheim Ducks 3-2. Thanks a lot, Chicago. Duncan Keith gets his first of the season. Brandon Saad, his 14th on the year. As Adam Henrique gets the game-winning goal in the third period. as the Ducks get 2 points and Chicago's falling apart quickly. But you know who isn't falling apart quickly? The Desert Dogs. They are on a roll and they beat the Canadiens 5-2.
That's what happens when you literally have nothing to play for.
Well, you know what? They're building steam there.
Carey Price was unable to Cam Ward this bitch.
And Brandon Perlini scores 2 goals in 19 seconds for the Coyotes.
Is that a record?
No, maybe for the Coyotes.
But maybe a franchise record, but I know it's definitely not a NHL record of any kind. No, the Sharks have had quicker ones than that.
No, yeah, but in the second, to start a second. I've seen the Sharks like do that in the third and even the first, but I don't know. Either way, that has to be a franchise record for the Yotes.
Yep. For sure. I would think so. Would it be something for the Vegas Golden Knights? But they don't need to score consecutive goals in consecutive seconds. They just keep doing everything because...
Former Sharks alert.
Yes, former Shark alert. Ryan Carpenter gets his fourth of the season.
Who got the fourth goal?
Eric.
Holla!
Gets his 22nd on the season. Also, William Karlsson gets his 30th. Jonathan Marchessault gets his 21st. Draisaitl is the only goal scorer for the Edmonton Oilers as they lose 4-1 to the Vegas Golden Knights. We told you about the Sharks beating the Canucks 4-1. And as of right now, here's a look at the standings in the West. We'll only do the West tonight for you for the sake of...
Oh, crap. He has graphics. While he gets his graphics up, Chris, may I ask you, what do you think? I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, I had that the other day. Yard House. That's good. That's good stuff. Hot Bullet by Sierra Nevada, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep. I've had that a couple of times. It's not bad.
Good look.
It's good double IPA. And it's easy to get.
Yes.
All right. In the West, the Central looks like this. Nashville at 77, despite the loss. Winnipeg at 75. The Blue Note at 72. In the Pacific, Vegas hits the 80-point mark in the West. Only 1 point behind the Tampa Bay Lightning in the East. San Jose gets the 70-point mark with their win. They are at 31-19-8 with 27 rows. Calgary at 68 with the win over the Predators. In the wild card, Dallas is at 70. Minnesota is at 68. And behind them, Anaheim won tonight, 67 points. Colorado at 66. LA's loss puts them behind Colorado at 65.
Christ, look at that goal differential. Calgary -2, LA +20, and that discrepancy.
So good thing for the Sharks there, though. Anaheim is the one closest to, you know, knocking them actually out of a playoff spot, and they have a game in hand, and they're up 3 points on them.
Well, it also goes to the thing that I was saying earlier when Alex was talking about plus minus, that there are certain stats, you look at it one way and it means a lot. You look at it another way, it means nothing. And tonight, that's, you know, plus 20 for LA on the goal differential means nothing next to a -2 for Calgary because they've got, you know, more wins. They're up there.
I don't think that stat really doesn't mean much just because you're adding up goals for each game. And so you have one game, you have a couple of games where you're going to score 6 goals in a row. I never really put much stock into that stat.
So. It will make a difference, though, because I believe it is like a certain tiebreaker down the road.
But if your season,
if you're going that deep, it's pretty rare it'll ever get to that.
Right. It's very rare, but I mean, it can play an effect wrong. But I get what you mean, Alex, for sure.
Can we do a new show like once a week that maybe comes out on Thursdays with Alex and Chris called like The Analogists? Something like that?
No, that's okay. That's okay.
I'm good.
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
No, if we're adding any more shows, it's just going to be you and me talking about beer for like an hour.
And drinking the entire time. Because of course we have to sample. Hello.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Like. Okay. This is. We're opening this one. Let's comment on all the finer points of it.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Going in the chat. Drew Daddy saying, "I wish the Kings had something similar to this show."
Who's the one in the chat who is usually like also like a massive San Francisco Giants fan? Is that Iman?
Isn't that Deckel or isn't that?
I want to say it was Rob Iman. I know that there's somebody who usually joins us. Oh, beerologist.
Yes, yes. I say yes, beerologist. I like
yes.
it.
Yes, or the brewologists, something yeah. along those lines. Yes, I can't remember who it was. I want to say it was Iman, but I may get that wrong. But yeah, whoever is a Sharks and Giants fan, we might have to put something together because. We can just obviously Chris pointed it out that we're going to have some cool mini shark bobbleheads to give away, but wouldn't it be cool if like, we're like, okay, so we've got like this teal SF cap with the Sharks logo on the back. And then you follow that up with like this actual MLB fitted cap. And then you follow it up with this cap. We might have to do some giveaways
so,
here, people.
Yeah, that should be probably mentioned before we wrap up here. So I have quite a few of these little guys here that I pulled out of a box when I was unpacking. I'd forgotten I had a whole bunch of these, but little mini Sharky bobbleheads. And we're going to be giving them away sometime over the next month or two. I'll probably have to bring them up with me when I come to San Jose next week. So I'll bring them up and leave them with AJ, and he'll help me dispense of them. So
yes,
stay tuned for that.
A dispensary in San Jose, who knew?
A sharky bobblehead dispensary. And that's you know, you won't have Jeff Sessions crack down on that one.
What?
Oh, anywho, with that,
so I don't even know how to the politicologist.
No, that's not right.
Yeah, it's not. Well, I guarantee you, if we're drinking a lot, it'll probably get political. So that's probably not a good idea. Anyway,
we'll say,
take us home, Eric.
In case you missed anything, you want to watch this again, check us out on TL10USA.com or your favorite podcatcher, where it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube. Get that out of the way. All right, final thoughts. We'll start with Mr. Strong, and where do people can find you?
My final thought, and I hate to say this, it was really empty in the tank tonight. I actually took a couple photos and posted them out. I don't know. I haven't checked the ESPN website for what the quote-unquote official attendance was for what they said. There's no way in hell it was a sellout. But, I mean, Eric, you and I saw a friend on Twitter tonight scrambling to get rid of her four seats.
So, the attendance on ESPN.com is 17,274, 98.7% full. Right.
Well,
that's some fuzzy math right there.
Well, no, again, to try to phrase it correctly, there may have in fact been that many tickets sold, but there was no way that there were that many tickets used or scanned, however you want to say it. I would say at the tank tonight, 12,500 is a conservative estimate, which is kind of a bummer. And in the, I want to say about 4 or 5 minutes into the third, when the Sharks got their third goal, the wooing got out of control. There really were no woos until that third goal. And a guy who was literally, I was two seats in from the stairwell of the section that I was in, and there was a guy who was one row down, three seats in the section next to me, who started going, "Woo!" And I looked over and I went, "Shut the hell up!" and what's funny is when I said that, like literally the entire row of people behind me were either applauding or going, "Yeah, what he said." So there is a small group who are tired of the wooing. So stop with the wooing. But hopefully we will see a really good amount of people show up for the Dallas Stars game on Sunday. Don't forget, there are a good amount of people that have Monday off for President's Day. The Sharks are giving away a Lunar New Year shirt.
Mystery bucks too, right?
Well, I'm getting to that. I don't understand the Lunar New Year thing. I mean, I understand that it is going to be, I don't know what the hell Lunar New Year has to do with hockey, but hey, thanks for the shirt, guys, but I'm really totally down for the President's Day mystery pucks. And if you are not aware, it looks, at least they had promoted three different pucks. One looks to be like a profile of Jones. It looks like a coin with his mask on. Second one looks to be Mount Rushmore, where it's like Burns, Couture, Pavelski, Thornton. So it's, I'm sure it's three out of the four of those guys. Maybe it's somebody else. But I said this on the Pucknologist this week. It would be a fantastic idea if that Mount Rushmore puck, it's only signed by one of those four guys. That would be, because you're going to have people hovering, and I will be one of them saying, which ones you get? I got a Thornton. I got a Burns. What do you got? Oh, you got Couture. Okay, I need that one. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of trading going on for that. And I can't remember what the other puck was. But either way, new mystery pucks, which were, I mean, they literally just started promoting this 5 days ago. So you want some mystery pucks? Show up against Dallas. I'm AJ Strong, or AJ underscore Strong on Twitter, on Instagram, and a new Pucknologist. We try to drop it every Sunday night or Monday night, depending on the schedule. Sharks play a lot of Sunday games recently, so we've been doing it on Mondays. And, oh, my God, listen to the last one, because we found a guy to replace Hockey Jerk for an episode. His name is Hockey Punk, and he's really good.
Thank you. I'll give you the 20 later. Alex, after all that, your final thoughts on where people can find you.
I was going to say, did you find Andrew Bench to replace him? But
Oh, dude, you just pissed.
There went the counter. There went the counter.
Dude, Chris.
You just turned a mute.
Oh, damn! Oh, that is how much Chris will not put up with that. With Voldemort ever being invoked, ever.
You do not mention that name around me.
Oh, my God.
Kaboom.
All right, Alex, your final thoughts on where the people could find you.
All right, so first win, 4 out of 6 since they've been losing. Great all-around effort. Jones seems like he's getting back. I think Dell is starting to become a little bit more dependable, but looks like Jones is starting to at least get back to playoff shape form. Burns, I'm looking forward to seeing if he can actually become a second half player again. That was something that was obviously not being shown last year. As I've said before, I don't think he deserved to win the Norris, but he won the Norris. Tierney, I was really surprised about. I think he's been one of the best things about the Sharks this season. And same with LeBanc. I've loved his game this season. It's going to be interesting what they do with LeBanc and Hurdle when their contracts come up this season.
With that, what do you think about Meyer?
I'm not sold on Meyer, but I think you can probably get what they did with Donskoy. So 3 years, whatever you want to do with Donskoy's contract.
But it's still early for him.
I was just going to say, on the Pucknologist this week, honestly, Alex, like, we literally said very much the same stuff. Was LeBanc just silently, no one really talking about the fact that he's, like, third in assists, sixth in points. Like, he's killing him that way. Tierney clearly exceeding expectations. But the thing is about Meyer, he might not be lighting it up necessarily, but if you look at the goals that he's had, they've been key goals. They're not, you know, pile on goals. That was one of the things that I used to, there was a person's name that you mentioned earlier, just a few minutes ago, the name of which we will not mention, but he used to go on about how great Mahalik was. And my thing was, if you looked at Mahalik's numbers, a lot of his goals, like if he scored 30 goals, just for hypothetically, he scores 30 goals on a season, you would look at those, and I'm not even kidding you, 14, 15 of those are scored garbage time, you know, when the Sharks are up 4-1 and there's 5 minutes left and there's an empty net, like that's when he's piling on. When then, like Jeremy Roenick, his last season, he only had like 17 goals, but out of those 17, 11 were either game winners or game tying goals. And to me, that's kind of what Meyer has been doing this year. He doesn't have a lot of goals, but they've been very key goals.
Yeah, I would say the best thing I like about Meyer's game is he actually gets in front of the net, and that sets everyone up. So,
absolutely.
And one last thing about, I know this is nothing new about hockey, but condolences to everyone who's been affected with the Florida shootings.
Absolutely.
So, I'll just pass it back to Eric.
All right. And you can follow him on Twitter at Al Martin A. Chris, your final thoughts and where the people can find you online.
You hear the purring? Yep, but we can hear the purring, definitely. Right. Final thoughts is Sharks have a tough stretch coming up here, you know, however you want to frame it, 4 and 6 days, 5 and 8 days, 6 and 10 days, or whatever it is. But a lot of central teams, so this is basically going to be their make or break moment. And with so many injuries, if they're going to follow the playoff race, it'll probably be pretty soon. And we'll see what they're made of. I mean, that's really the final thought there, is that now they're not going to have the Coyotes or any crappy team to beat up on for a while here.
Well, there is Edmonton.
Oh, yeah, there is Edmonton. Although, you know, I say they're not as bad as their record says. You can follow me on Twitter at ChrisJWS.
All right. My final thought tonight, it was hockey is for everyone night at the Tank. And let's be quite honest right now. Yes, there are four guys on here. We have them all over the place. And especially with Rocket in Nashville and everybody, doesn't matter race, sex, religion, orientation, whatever. We hope you love hockey just as much as we do. And if by all means, we welcome you with open arms. So with that, you can follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. We'll be back with you following the Sharks and Stars on Sunday night. It's a 5 o'clock start, so we'll be on a little earlier than usual. And until then, keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal. Good night from San Jose.